Intervju Radija Študent.
Tokrat smo v terminu Ereš intervjua ujeli nemškega glasbenika Stefana Mathieuja, ki danes ob 21. nastopi v kinu Šiška. V inštalaciji poimenovani Virginals bo reinterpretiral dela skladateljev Alvina Lucierja, Phila Nibloka in Francisa Lopeza. Več o sami ideji koncerta ter o svojem glasbenem ustvarjanju pa nam je zaupal v intervjuju.
Yes, first time. First time I'm playing here.
Do you tend to play more in Germany or abroad?
I hardly play in Germany ever. It's really like.
Where do you tend to play the most?
It's basically it's all over Europe and also in North America, but mainly Europe, like all kind of places.
UK maybe.
Yes, UK, Americans. France. Belgium, Netherlands.
Right. So you started your career with playing drums in improvised music.
Yes.
So you know, it seems nowadays that, especially in Berlin, for example, there are many people who started with acoustic instruments and then changed to electronics, are now going back to acoustic instruments.
Exactly.
So what do you think about this? Do maybe?
I think that's somehow a logical progression, because if I speak for myself, I played acoustic drums. I loved the sound of my drum kit and what I can do with it. And then at a later stage, I started to add like cheap electronics to it. And then at some point, I discovered computers, which I was never interested in, just through hard disk recording studio work in the mid-90s, and so since then I thought, hey, wow, I would like to have a computer myself, don't have to go to a studio to record and process also my drum kit. But then it took a couple of years until I got my first computer with the idea to record and process my drums. But once I started with that, the drums disappeared. And then I worked for 11 years exclusively with computers. And at a certain point I started to get more and more tired, especially of performing my music with a computer. And also, I always worked with players of acoustic instruments who played material for me, which I then processed. So I never worked with synthesizers or stuff. It was all, most of the time, acoustic sources, and so, and
do you see yourself going back to just drums maybe?
That's a dream since long.
Are you still in contact with the improvised scene?
Yes, I mean, I have many friends there, but we only see each other very rarely. But I'd really like to play the drums again very, very soon. So, but you know, that's the thing is, I have this certain system in my mind, a completely electronic drum kit, but which has no prepared sounds, and I can play my own sounds with this. Yes, and I'd love to play in a band again and everything.
Nice.
Just as an addition to the other things I'm working on.
So this is just, as you say, a sort of logical progression for people who went into electronics to turn back to acoustics.
What I want to say to this again is, like, I mean, in the 90s when this whole computer thing started, this was like, it was like very new and something to check out how it goes, you know. And then I think these primary school state of primary school is over. So now from there on, we can work with what from this experience we made with the computer and put it back into go back and use this in mm-hmm. different contexts.
So you feel that potential of computers is already all used up, or?
I wouldn't say so, but
You learn the process of working with computers, and now you can incorporate it with
yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So another thing, you tend to put out records, which mm-hmm. is maybe more specific for musicians mm-hmm. and not so much for the sound artists. Mm-hmm. Do you see the distinction between the two, or between
you
being a sound artist and being a musician?
Oh, I look at myself as a musician, mm-hmm. totally. I wouldn't call myself a sound artist or a composer or whatever. To me, it's really music making. Even if I make installations, they are always about music. Most of my installation works are just loudspeakers. Mm-hmm. So and yeah, right. And making records. You mean vinyl?
Yeah.
Or in general?
No, just albums. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, that's I always was a collector of music. Mm-hmm. I started when I was 6 to collect records. So it's for me, it's always a great thing to, you know, add to mm-hmm. this thing which is already there. Mm-hmm. Yes, I love releases. You know, like objects to put this music as an object and give it mm-hmm. to people. Mm-hmm. And especially I always like to release my music on vinyl, mm-hmm. especially this digital stuff, because I think it adds a second, like a human layer to it, mm-hmm. instead of having a CD to
right.
play it on a record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is another, let's say, almost as an obsession of yours, of working with archaic sort of mm-hmm. sound reproducers. Mm-hmm. So. You know, can you tell us a bit about this distinction between digital and this archaic sound? What is about archaic sound that makes it so special for you?
I'm always interested in if I work with something, then it after a little while I'm getting really interested in the roots of this. Mm-hmm. So, and since I'm working with all this methods of recording and processing and mastering and so on. I during the last couple of years I got back to the roots of recording.
Mm-hmm. So which was wax cylinders?
Wax cylinders.
You
yes.
worked with that as well?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it would be possible to put it in some sort of installation sometime in the future?
Oh, actually I did. I did this 2 years ago. I made a piece on the history of recorded music, but that's a different story because I made this as a collaboration and which really crashed hard, so this project died in an early stage, but we worked with wax cylinders there mm-hmm. and live recording of music from loudspeakers and play them back with wax cylinders through a huge horn, record this again, send it to the computer, send it to the loudspeakers again. Like, mm-hmm. you know, this history happening in
right.
one moment.
Mm-hmm.
The idea I like very much. But in general, it's for me, it's because I'm... Sometimes people ask me if this has to do with... I'm missing the word. What's that? If you love all stuff...
If you're nostalgic.
Nostalgic, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's for me, it has really nothing to do with nostalgia. I'm just so fascinated by these gramophones. You know, if you... I'm also collecting music from this era before there were loudspeakers.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you play these records back acoustically through a horn, then you hear them how they were intended back then.
Mm-hmm.
And... when I heard the first time a gramophone standing in front of me, I was just totally shocking how
it's
straight and fantastic it is. It's
mm-hmm.
not really not surreal or something. It's really a class of its own.
Mm-hmm. So was this the turning point when you decided to go from improvisation, which was quite sort of minimalist expression sound-wise. Mm-hmm. And then you came to this richer sound. Mm-hmm. Was this because you discovered gramophones, or was there something else that triggered this?
This was a important point, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, do maybe see your audience change back when you were playing improvised, and now that you do sound installations, you probably don't play in the same venues. Or did you keep your audience, maybe?
No. That's an interesting question, because actually I wanted also to do something else live, because I never thought that also my computer music, it's not fitting for a club context, mm-hmm. you know, at all, because I always like the idea that people can focus on the music for these 45 or 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, with this project here, with Virginals, I'm playing more non-club or non-usual concert venues. You know, this setup is completely self. I have my loudspeakers and everything, so I mm-hmm. basically go wherever and put it there. And that's what I'm asking organizers always, to just find a nice space.
Mm-hmm.
Most I really love to play in like historical places with this, you know. And mm-hmm. yeah.
So people tend to sort of tag your music as ambient.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, the most famous quote is by Brian Eno, who said that ambient music, the real quality of ambient music is to be able to listen to it as a background, but if you want to listen to it closely, it must be intriguing as well. So would you agree with this?
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I think this makes good music in general, also in pop music. It's for me, mm-hmm. let's say pop music in the widest sense, or if it is nice to hear it just from the radio while you work, but also if you can sit down and really listen to details and
mm-hmm.
lyrics and so on. That's the same with me with this kind of music I'm making, if you call it ambient or if you call it drone or whatever.
Can you tell us a bit about the concept behind this work?
In general, this has to do with my interest in early recording devices, and then at the same point I started to get really interested in early music and in performance practice of
mm-hmm.
Of early music, like authentic instruments and so on and so on. So and through that I got this keyboard I'm playing, this little, it's an octave spinet.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got this, I bought this because I loved it so much. I'm not a keyboard player at all, but then on the other side, if you give me an instrument, I start playing music with it, so
mm-hmm.
that's what I really like. And so I bought this keyboard. And when it arrived, I thought, hey, I have to play Phil Niblock, Alvin Lucy, Hélène Radic, Charlemagne Palestine. This was immediately, I thought, I make this classical recital thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. So Why did you decide to pick these particular composers as opposed to others?
Because I love their music, and I always thought, when I had this instrument, I thought, hey,
this is just it connected to
Yes, it connected. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, can you tell us how do you reproduce this? I mean, do you have this set of gramophones? Mm-hmm. So do you play these records of recorded music with this?
Not for this piece. So with the gramophones, I will play a version of a composition by Francisco Lopez, mm-hmm. Untitled 92, which is, he released this on Mego. It's a vinyl with four long pieces of made from really slightly acute vinyl run out grooves. Mm-hmm. You may know this. Mm-hmm. And the idea is to play it on two, you have two copies and play it on two or four turntables and make EQs and so. And I did this when this record came out in 98 or so. I bought four of them. And I was DJing them, and I had I always loved this as tools. Mm-hmm. And having these gramophones and working on like a concert program with cover versions of other people's music, this was really a straight idea. I thought it'd be really nice to do a version of Francisco's piece. Mm-hmm. So basically, I contacted all the composers. Mm-hmm. So I knew Francisco, and I also play a piece by Phil Niblock, mm-hmm. who's a good friend of mine.
He played here last year, I think.
Oh, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, he's playing everywhere. Yeah. He's so traveling man. And also contacted Alvin Lucier, by whom the first pieces I will play tonight. And they all liked the idea. And I contacted Charlemagne Palestine. Mm-hmm. I visited him actually because I want to make a version of his drumming music, and then we discussed a lot with each other, and I still have to, he said he wants to write a piece for me, mm-hmm. and we do this at some point. But in the end what I found out is just when I was already performing this, I found out, hey, I picked some really, really strong characters. And mm-hmm. also exactly. I picked people who usually nobody performs Phil's music. It's always him mm-hmm. putting in the CD, mm-hmm. setting the volume, and then he has other musicians playing on top of it. Mm-hmm. But it's always him. The same with Francisco Lopez, and also I think the best performer of a classic Lucier piece is Lucier himself. And I mean, Charlemagne Palestine, anyway, what's his stuff without himself? But nevertheless, I really like the idea that I do this. I'm not a performer in general. I always feel a little bit unhappy on stage or so. But it's, for me, it's about the music. And I like the idea to filter somehow their music through my brain thoughts, you know, and. Mm-hmm.
So, but do you try to sort of stick to the original idea by the composers, or do you want to do something completely on your own?
No, definitely. It's for me really, Lopez is a pretty simple idea, but this run-out groove.
So you play these pieces separately?
Tonight, or at the moment, this program is, it starts with Alvin Lucier. Mm-hmm. Music with magnetic strings, which is a piece for grand piano, mm-hmm. and five EBOs, which are electromagnets. Put them on the strings, and the string resonates in its
so
tone.
This is connected to Virginal, this keyboard instrument. So, I didn't. Mm-hmm. How does this Virginal incorporate mm-hmm. in the whole setup?
Oh, the yes.
Do you play on it, or is it somehow preset? Or
No. I play on the Virginals. I perform the Lucier piece, mm-hmm. instead of a piano, I used the virginals, played with five ebows, and next is the gramophone piece, and the third one is a Phil Niblock piece, which is originally a piece he made for flutes, long flute tones, and this has been one of my favorite pieces. And I asked him if I can make a new version with using exactly his tonal pitches and durations, which he writes down, but don't play it with flutes, but play it with the virginals, with ebows, you know, just tune the strings exactly, put the ebow on it and have it resonate. So this version I'm playing of the Niblock piece is a totally recorded piece, which I play back, and then add extra notes live to this playback tape.
Did you get maybe any feedback from the composers? Did any of them hear your performance?
No one heard the performance yet. And I'm just about to record a studio version, like a CD version of it. Then I will send it around.
So for now you're doing this with already recorded works, but do you perhaps in the future see yourself working with like a small orchestra or some individual acoustic musicians, you know, like Phil Niblock does? He just invites musicians and records these lines and then manipulates them. Is that something you would maybe do in the future?
I mean, really, this project, which I call Virginals, this is just, for me, it's just like a vehicle to play versions of music I like. Actually, some people approached me and asked if they can write something for me. And I said, yeah, I like the idea somehow, but I don't want to do this really. I really want to find some music myself, like classical stuff or the modern temporary classical stuff, and do this.
So can you tell us, do you prefer working in studio with computers and stuff, or do you prefer live performances?
It's both, it's so different. So I mean, this project now is really about playing compositions, and while with my with the computer, this was always, the music was, it had a certain subject, like I have a shortwave receiver, play this to my computer, but this was always totally on the fly, very improvised, and I like both. I like working in the studio so much, but it's really different, yeah.
So maybe we're a bit short on time. So a couple more questions. Do you listen to any contemporary music apart from the composition? Is there something particular you liked lately?
At the moment, I just, on my way here, I really discovered this album from Los Angeles-based couple. They're called The Long Lost. So fantastic.
What sort of music is it?
It's a little bit this folky pop acoustic stuff, which I'm not so fond of.
Is this contemporary?
It's brand new, but this is so well done. Very, very fantastic lyrics.
I should look arranged. It up.
The Long Lost. Yes, they're actually on Ninja Tunes. Yes.
Okay.
Very, very good. This blew my mind. And
we'll seek it for it. So maybe one last question. Do you have any instructions for the listeners who will attend the performance tonight?
Instructions? No, it's not as an instruction, but as an invitation. There will be no chairs. People should come in and move in the room. They can come close to the gramophones, to the spinet, and try to grab the acoustic things. But they should, especially for the Lucier, the first, and for the last the Niblock piece, they should walk, move in the room, because then the frequency starts really to come alive.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Stefanom Mathieujem, ki ga danes ob 21. s performansom Virginals lahko slišite v kino Šiška, se je pogovarjal Goran Kompoš.
Poslušate Radio Študent.
Intervju Radia Študent.